It is time once again for our theatre review, and ITV's Vidar Harding has been to see an audio-described showing, and I'm not saying adieu or goodbye, but that should be a bit of a clue, Vidar.
Absolutely. And I guess when we're talking about this particular production, we should start at the very beginning to carry on that sort of allusion to the various songs. And if people haven't guessed it because of our clues, shall we call them, it is The Sound of Music, Rodgers and Hammerstein's very, very perennially popular musical with all of those great melodies. And worth saying, three melodies that aren't in the film version either.
Okay, so a little bit extra there?
Bit extra indeed, and those who know the story might remember the Baroness to whom the Captain is thinking of getting married, and she actually sings a couple of duets with the culture attaché who's organising the concert, in which in the end, of course, the family do appear as part of their escape over to Switzerland.
All about escaping the Germans, so back to the Second World War then, and of course, an incredibly famous movie as well.
Incredibly famous movie, and to my knowledge, sort of based very much on quite a true story as well, you know, with the backdrop, as you say, of the Second World War and the lead up to it with the Anschluss with Austria and Germany, etc. So I suppose a poignant time in European history. But the melodies, I think, you know, most people, even if they're not fans of The Sound of Music, or even if they haven't seen it for many, many years, would immediately recognise, you know, Climb Every Mountain, Doe a Deer, The Hills Are Alive with The Sound of Music, all the rest of it.
I may have asked you this before, Vidar, but when you go to a performance that perhaps you've seen beforehand as a film, are your expectations raised?
I don't know about the word raised, Alan. It's an interesting question. I think you automatically, even subconsciously, have an image in your mind or an impression of what you're going to see. You're perhaps familiar with the story, the plot. You might imagine the characters that you've seen in the film. So, for example, the film was very, very famous for Julie Andrews and Christopher Plummer. And, you know, they arguably are the iconic sort of Maria and Captain Von Trapp. So I actually think it's a terribly hard ask for anybody stepping into those shoes, whether on stage or for that matter in another movie, were there to be one, to perhaps live up to that. But great casting, great singing this time around. I still confess to Climb Every Mountain leaving a little bit of a lump in my throat. And yeah, I think you do go with a certain impression. What of course you get, Alan, as we often talk about in these slots, with a live theatre production that you don't get in the movie, is the chance to actually get a much clearer idea of the set and some of the costumes and indeed a number of the props that are used during the actual matinee or evening that you go and see it. And I was reflecting on the ones I have seen, the stage version of this particular musical. There wasn't a touch to it. It was audio described, but we're going back 7 or 8 years. And I was chatting to the describers, who in fact, interestingly enough, were the same people that did it then, that did it this time. And Julia Grundy, Jonathan Nash, they were saying that, like me, they couldn't remember there being a touch to it. So that was a first this time. And that was fascinating, not least because so many of the costumes, there are so many costumes, and a lot of them, you know, down to the last detail, really exact. So, for example, there are soldiers' uniforms, brown shirts and caps with the Nazi insignia on, because that's the time we're talking about. We obviously had other sort of costumes relating to the convent and the nuns. And, yeah, all of that helps to bring it to life and gives you an overall context. But then when you're in the auditorium, listening to the description, hopefully enjoying what's being played out on stage, just helps to give you that overall appreciation of what's going on.
Do you feel that if there isn't a touch to you lose out, or do you feel that it is a great bonus, but the audio description that you receive in your headphones really helps paint that picture?
I would always describe the touch tour as the icing on the cake. If you can't get there for the touch tour, and they're very often a couple of hours before curtain up, and, you know, people have perhaps work commitments, travelling from further afield, whatever it might be, it's not always possible to get to the theatre. In this case, it was a midday touch tour. It was a 2:30 start time for the audio described matinee. And, you know, understandably, it's not always, you know, practicable for people to be there so much in advance. That said, it is a bonus, it is the icing on the cake, but because of the pre-show notes, so if you're in your seat with your headset, having hopefully been instructed into how to use the headset, if you haven't had a chance to get familiar with that before, you can listen to 15 minutes or so of what is effectively like somebody going through some of the program with you, except they also describe the set, they describe the costumes, they tell you who the cast members are, who's playing which part. So that helps, and I would argue that that helps even if you have been on the Touch Truth. So if you've had your icing as well as your cake, you will actually get a reprise of that, which is not a bad thing if you just want to sort of collect your thoughts and, you know, get yourself sorted, ready to enjoy the show.
Great. Well, I'm getting the impression that you did enjoy it.
I did enjoy it. I am slightly biased by the fact that I love some of the music from it, and so I've got to confess that it's a favourite. That said, it's possibly a harder ask, you know, for the cast, therefore, to impress, but they were brilliant. Not surprised it was a packed audience, not surprised that actually reflecting that proportionately there was a higher perhaps turnout in terms of those on the Touch Tour and taking advantage of the audio description, including one or two people who were chatting to me informally who were saying it was their first experience of audio description. If it was, and I didn't get a chance to talk to them afterwards, I think they would hopefully be well encouraged to try it again, because Julia and Jonathan from the Sightliners team did a great job, and that combined with a lovely 2.75 hours on the stage was great.
Okay, so The Sound of Music then, let's have your marks out of 5.
Okay, The Hills Are Alive with The Sound of 4 out of 5, I guess.
High marks.
Indeed.
Right, okay, so we've finished that one for this week. What are we off to next week?
We are going to pick up a theme that we've touched on a couple of times this year already, as many listeners may well recall or be aware. It is Shakespeare's 400th anniversary this year. We're going to be looking at a play not done by the RSC on this occasion, but nonetheless one of his particularly well-known plays, one of my personal favourites again, quite a heavy one, King Lear, produced at the Birmingham Rep, with Don Warrington in the lead role, actually. So hopefully, Alan, we can explore that when next we speak.
We'll look forward to that one, Vidar. And once again, thank you for speaking with us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.